For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A national rating of nursing homes gives a failing grade to one facility in Fishersville, citing patient abuse and failure to provide medicine properly. One appeal challenging the Atlantic Coast Pipeline could be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. And thousands of visitors attend a remembrance honoring veterans at the National D-Day Memorial in Bedford. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, June 7th. In a report revealing troubled nursing homes nationwide, a facility in Fishersville is among 400 U.S. nursing homes listed as having a, quote, persistent record of poor care. The Newsleader reports that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services gave Augusta Nursing and Rehab Center a one-star rating on a five-star scale. On that scale, a one-star rating is much below average. The report found that Augusta Nursing and Rehab often failed to provide medications to patients on time, often gave the wrong medicines or incorrect doses, and sometimes mistreated patients. The national ratings are based on health inspections, nurse staffing levels, and other data from Medicare claims. D-Day and World War II veterans marked the 75th anniversary of the Normandy invasion on Thursday. Thousands of visitors attended an event at the National D-Day Memorial in Bedford. Virginia Public Radio's David Seidel reports.
After a flyover of restored World War II airplanes, Vice President Mike Pence spoke directly to the more than 100 veterans gathered in Bedford.
We marvel at the courage that you showed as young men. You storm the beaches and face the shadow of death.
Despite age and failing eyesight, Navy veteran James Hardiger said he wouldn't have missed the ceremony. Hardiger served in the Pacific, but his brother took part in the Normandy operation.
I had to come out and support my buddies.
All of the veterans received a special medal from the state, as well as countless handshakes and thank yous. I'm David Seidel.
After a federal court invalidated a key permit for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, lead partner Dominion Energy has said it intends to appeal the decision to the Supreme Court. As WMRA's Andrew Jenner reports, the deadline to file that appeal was recently extended to the end of June.
To get from Harrison County, West Virginia, to its proposed destinations in eastern Virginia and North Carolina, the Atlantic Coast Pipeline would have to cross two national forests. In November 2017, the U.S. Forest Service granted pipeline developers a permit to do just that. After a coalition of environmental groups sued, though, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals threw that permit out last December. In the months since, Dominion Energy has said it will appeal that decision to the Supreme Court. An initial deadline for that appeal was in late May, but both parties on the losing end of the Fourth Circuit's decision, Dominion and the U.S. Forest Service, asked for an extension. The Supreme Court agreed, setting a new appeal deadline of June 25th.
Procedural extensions of deadlines are common in court proceedings. I don't think there's anything to read into the fact that the deadline was extended.
Greg Bupert is a senior attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, which argued the Forest Service case before the Fourth Circuit. Though he wouldn't speculate on whether the Supreme Court would take the case, Bupert noted that it hears less than 1% of the cases it's presented with, and typically, they involve constitutional issues or conflicting decisions of lower courts.
Neither of those issues are present here, so I think in general, getting the Supreme Court to take a case that doesn't involve one of those two categories is more difficult.
In recent months, some industry analysts have speculated that Dominion may cancel the pipeline altogether if it can't get the Forest Service permit restored by the Supreme Court. From Bupert's perspective, that's something Dominion should be considering regardless of what eventually happens with this case.
The energy landscape is very different than it was in 2014, and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline is barely under construction and behind schedule, and it is an appropriate time to reassess whether this project should go forward at all.
Dominion did not respond to interview requests for this story. For WMRA News, I'm Andrew Jenner.
A federal judge in Richmond will decide whether four Virginia abortion laws are merely inconvenient or place undue burdens for women seeking abortions. During closing arguments Thursday in a lawsuit challenging the laws, an attorney for Women's Health Group said the regulations are medically unnecessary and limit women's access to abortion. A lawyer for the state argued that the regulations have made abortion clinics safer. The case is one of more than a dozen lawsuits filed around the country seeking to lift restrictions on abortion clinics at a time when some states are passing tough new anti-abortion laws, including Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Ohio, and Kentucky. One of the laws being challenged in Virginia is a physician-only regulation that bars nurse practitioners and physician assistants from performing abortions. The judge has given both sides until June 20th to submit final legal briefs. Governor Ralph Northam is launching an initiative to lower maternal mortality rates for black women. Northam announced Wednesday the goal of eliminating the racial disparity in mortality rates by 2025. The maternal mortality rate for black women is more than twice as high as it is for white women. Northam said he's directing state agencies to expedite enrollment of eligible pregnant women in Medicaid. He pledged to focus on addressing Virginia's longstanding history of racial inequity after a blackface scandal nearly forced him from office in February. One Virginia representative is fighting against the Trump administration's efforts to limit free or reduced price lunches in public schools. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
Here is Congressman Bobby Scott of Newport News questioning Department of Agriculture official Brandon Lips about the proposal.
And did I understand that you mentioned there'd be savings with the change that you're making?
Yes, sir.
Are those savings generated by fewer children having access to free school meals?
It's generated by children who do not qualify for free and reduced price meals not getting free meals at school.
The way the community eligibility program works now, a school division that has high poverty can offer free lunches to all students in all schools, whether they qualify or not. That's intended to take the stigma away from children who have to prove they live in poverty to eat lunch. The Trump administration wants to eliminate the ability of entire school divisions from participating in the program. That would upend the free lunch program at 13 schools in Virginia, leaving a potential 4,000 students without a free or reduced price lunch. Scott says that would be a mistake, and he says he'll be working against that part of the Trump budget proposal, even if it does save a little money. I'm Michael Pope.
That's the podcast for this Friday for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoy your weekend.